Okay, guys, I'm gonna share screen. Hold on a second. Can you see my screen?
Yes, Frank.
All right. Thanks, God. Thank you for your answers. It helps. I see Ronald Reagan in the background. Yep. Is that Ronald?
Yep.
All right.
He was a host of the General Electric Theater in the late 50s, early 60s TV show.
All right. Yeah. Our beloved president of the past.
Former president,
Yeah. That's great. You guys still remember what Mashlomek means?
Oh.
From a couple weeks ago. Mashlomech.
Mashlomech.
That's right, you got Scott. You got it. How's your peace? How's your peace? How's your shalom? Yeah. How's your peace during this Christmas? I have to say that it was quite busy, that sometimes I tend to get lost in the busyness. So it was a little bit tiring and busy for me. Yeah, I don't know how you guys feel the same way, but it was good to be with family, to eat and to enjoy and to celebrate our Lord's birth. How about you guys? Yeah? Good. I see some smiling faces.
Yeah, good. Everything same. Good.
Downsize celebration this year, Frank, for sure.
Downsize? Okay.
Downsize, okay. Yeah, not as big.
Yeah, of course. We're in a new norm here, but it's not bad, right? No. It's downsize doesn't mean it's bad either.
No.
It's I'm back in session. Okay, we've been trying to keep this up during Sunday school and saying and praising God, in spite of everything that's going on. So why don't we do that? We take a few minutes to praise our God. I put it up there. I praise you, Lord, because you are. So many things, right? Feel free to take your mic off and declare who our Lord is this morning, even in the midst of the pandemic or other issues. Yeah, because he is the same. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yeah. You are for because praise you, Lord, because you are forgiving through all eternity.
Oh yes. Amen. Yes.
I praise you, Lord, because you are our firm foundation.
Yes. Yeah. Firm foundation.
I praise you, Lord, because you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Yeah. That's good.
I praise you, Lord, because you are only good.
It's only good. Yes, amen. I praise you, Lord, because you are great and loving, and you've given us the greatest gift of all, your son, Jesus Christ. Maybe a few more, and then we'll open it up. Praise you, Lord, because you are the protector of our souls and our lives and our family during this time.
I praise you, Lord, because you are our peace that passes all understanding.
Father, this morning we want to give you praise, as always, even when we can't verbalize it, Lord, we stand to do our part, to do our best, to declare that you are a good God and you're a good Father, even with all the things that is happening that's not to our ideals or doesn't seem to be for our benefit, but we trust that you are working everything out for the good of those who love him, who love you, Lord. And you are in the midst of it all. You are still on the throne and you are in control. And we trust that you are our shepherd and you will lead us through this valley and that you will never forsake us, never forget us, and that your spirit is with us to strengthen us, to comfort us. So we want to thank you because you are a good Father and all your children are under your care. Thank you for inviting us to your banquet table where you have prepared so many things for us that we can enjoy that table of salvation, of family, of brothers and sisters, of your word, all that which comes from your table that is so ever flowing. So we want to give thanks this morning and we pray that as we ingest and study your word, that your word may fill us, may provide direction, insight into our personal lives. May your word be a double-edged sword so that it transforms us and brings life into our lives, into even these mundane lives, Lord, that because your word, it livens up everything. And we trust that that's a supernatural thing that only you can do because you are a supernatural God. And we believe in a God that surpasses all that which is in the world, that is all good, all powerful, and all loving. Pray all this in your name. Amen. Yeah. All right. Where is this? There it is. Moving on. Verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Last week, we ended with mercy in action. You guys remember that? Yeah. And then I think it was so powerful that Pastor Alex shared about Kai's dad's testimony, how he came to Christ. I didn't know that. And I was taking it all in. I mean, that is one of the best testimonies for him to be detained and have a brother and the pastor to come to detainment center to visit him, to show love. And as a result, without words, but in action, you know, he gave his life to Jesus. That's a great testimony. And I was really, that story really touched me and really taught me that's kind of the essence of our Christian life when it comes to displaying mercy. Now, that's a good way to end it. Today, this verse is considered by many as the climax of the blessed characteristics. And I was surprised, actually, because I never really studied this part. You know, there's too deep into the Beatitudes that I just concentrated on the first three or four. But they said this is actually the climax. And I wasn't sure why they said that. But as we study it, you know, maybe we'll get a glimpse of why this would be considered as such. You know, up to this point, do you guys remember what has been the common denominator that Pastor Alex and I have been kind of driving in? The common denominator of all these blessings up to this point? Anybody? And the poor in spirit mourn, those who mourn, those who are meek, those who
are the people who are lowly, either
the people
position,
are lowly,
yeah, position or feeling, yeah.
Yes, yes, definitely. That is the common denominator, that people who are lowly, and he's speaking to in that audience. Obviously, people who are poor in spirit, who have been mourning, who are meek, who are hungry for and thirsting for righteousness, and in need of mercy. And was that something that of their own doing? Remember, we were talking about whether it's man generated versus
well, Frank, spirit you kinda, generated. You kinda, I'm sorry, Frank. Could you kind of categorize these as like because of human due to human weaknesses or human failings? Some of these things happen to people.
Yeah. That's good. Scott, I think that will lead into today. Yes, human failings. I mean, I think these are human failings that Jesus is pointing out. But as men, we never want to fail, right? That's a bad thing, right? In the secular world, even in my world, your world, we don't want to fail. But Jesus is saying that, hey, you are blessed. So that's why such a shock for many to hear this, even for us in today's society of winners. Winner takes all, right? Yeah, who wants to go into a competitive sporting event and lose? I'm a loser. No, you know, nothing competing. But I think this was controversial. This was a shocker. Mm-hmm. Jesus saying, you are blessed because you have failings. That's quite interesting, right? And these blessings were not man-generated. You know, Linda brought up that, you know, hey, through discipline, through study, we can learn to be merciful. We can learn to be meek, right? But we've been driving the point that, no, it's spirit-led and spirit-produced. Something that God produces. So, does that answer your question, Scott?
Yes.
Yeah. So they say that, you know.
I think there's that concept sometimes that two things that I always think about. One is that birds of the same feather flock together. Right? Meaning people who are similar in personality a lot of times tend to kind of gravitate together, right?
Yeah.
And then, so what happens sometimes in the church, and it could be very deceiving, is that there are people, I'm sure we can all think of people that we know that are just almost born with a merciful trait or with a meekness, right? There are certain people that we know that just have, you know, appear much more humble and they're more gentle, right? Mm-hmm. And what you're saying for the class to remember is that this list is not representing that, right? And the reason why I say birds of the same feather flock together is sometimes, you know, people who are wired more meekly or gentle, a little bit more quiet, a little bit more kind, can find their way into a gathering of the church and say, I like this people, this is good. You know, it's less abrasive than the world. And until you come to the true understanding and the salvation of Christ, you will not have the Holy Spirit bearing these traits. Because I think what you're saying for our whole class to remember is, it's too easy to make these a man-generated thing and not something that is given by the Spirit.
And in fact, I'm glad you brought that up and you kind of teased it out a little bit, because in fact, anything that Jesus says is never dealing with the outward appearance.
Right.
Jesus is always driving at something deeper,
right,
into the heart. In fact, today is what it says, pure in heart, right? He is always driving not what your outward appearance and how you've clothed it so well over the years that people cannot see, but he's driving at the heart. And even more so, he's driving at the spirit, that the Holy Spirit that resides in your heart. I think that's what you're also trying to say, right, Pastor Alex? I think that's the end goal, because it's not about the outward appearance, because we can't see it. That's why man can't see each other's heart many times. It's so deceiving. But perhaps that's why many commentators would say that this is the most comprehensive character of the blessedness. And it's the ultimate blessing when in the Sermon on the Mount. You know, St. Augustine, who was a philosopher and also a preacher, a theologian, he says, seeing God face to face when he renews all things is the end and purpose of all of our activity. And along these lines, most commentators that as I was, you know, researching and studying it, they all come to this conclusion that this is one of the most important blessings, if not the ultimate blessing, in the Sermon on the Mount. And when I see this, and I, you know, naturally, I would ask, well, why, right? Why do you think this would be the kind of the ultimate blessing? All the others were great, but why? Why would they say that this would be the one?
Pure at heart.
Yeah, it won't take too long to answer this question, but if anyone has an idea, do you know? I mean, just there's no right or wrong answer. It's just my curiosity. Why do you think many commentators would say that? Someone's talking.
Yeah, that's someone. Peter. I'll move Peter. You over real quick to Peter. We're maintaining 6-foot distancing at church, so.
Yeah, you in the back. You in the back. Okay.
No, I was gonna say Probably because the pureness of heart is one of those things where if you are really true to yourself, you know that that's something that you cannot achieve yourself, or something that you don't even have.
Right.
You know, because if you are, if you understand your sinfulness and you compared to God, there's no way you can have pureness of heart, you know. So really? I tend to think so. I mean, there's nothing in us without Christ that can ever produce pureness of heart.
If anyone's honest with themselves.
If everyone is honest with themselves. Right. You know, it's only, this is, it can only be a product of the Holy Spirit in us that can be able to produce truly the pureness of heart. And that's why I think it's the hardest, and you can't even mask it. And this is something that's inside you that it's only between you and God. I don't, you can't fake it. You can't, you know, there's nothing that you can do.
That's interesting. Yeah. You can fake being merciful. You can fake the meekness or in spirit, but you can't fake the pure in heart, you know? That's anyone else? That's who is pure amongst us, huh? What is purity, right? who is pure and free from corrupt desires, free from sin and guilt, blameless, innocent. I mean, this is just, I mean, there's no secret to this definition. That's what it means. Unstained, no uncleanliness, unpolluted. That's the general definition of pure or purity. Old Testament, New Testament, all the same. Okay, so we won't get into the nitty gritty, but generally, I don't think anyone would disagree with this. Along those questions, I want to challenge again Peter's comment a little bit more, which is, what are some ways to become more pure? Are there ways to become more pure?
Are there ways to become more pure?
Yeah, yeah. You guys can talk about it. Daniel, can you just break this up? Or do you guys want to talk about it here? I know I always give the option, but no one, you guys, want to go in a small group, maybe? Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we talk about it here, Frank? Can we talk about it here?
You want to talk about it here?
Well, okay. See if anybody has ideas.
Okay.
Could this be someone like, this is an extreme example, someone that's been incarcerated in prison, jail, and their life is really meaningless and they're all messed up? Yet they found Christ. There's been prison ministries and things. They found Christ in prison and turned their life entirely around. Otherwise, they may not be here. Is that an example?
Along those lines, but because they found Christ. They became better, right? Okay, in that sense, you can say that. What if you already found Christ? You know, how do you become more pure?
It could be just from a simple prayer request. We often say, let me be more like Christ, or let us be more like Christ.
Yeah.
And that is in the direction.
Okay. Okay.
So when I'm thinking of like purity, I think of also just Bex, don't worry about it.
Okay, you're standing. Okay.
Good morning, all.
Good morning. Yes. Yeah. So formal. Yes.
Let me unbuck it. I think of. You know, when the Old Testament talked about not having leaven mixed in, right? So like a pureness is being unmixed, right? So it's, or it's untainted. There's no additives into that, right?
Yeah.
So if I think of that sense of purity, yeah, I think there's a lot that those with Christ, those who have the Spirit, who have the Word of God, are able to begin by the power of the Spirit and decisions to say, I don't want to be polluted. I don't want to be mixed. I don't want these additives in my system, in my mind, in my being. Right. So I think of purity in that sense, right? Of being untainted. Yeah.
Yeah.
Untainted.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one way. And what is the result of that, of being untainted? You stay untainted, or is that, how successful is that, I guess? As much as we try, and we should. You know, we should not pollute our minds and eyes and ears with, you know, with entertainment that's probably not conducive to our spiritual lives and being in the group, like you say, birds of the same feather flock together. Maybe, you know, wrong friends to be with for your young kids in school, right? How successful? What is your track record in obtaining that? Oh, Mabel is shaking her head.
I want to see something. Is it okay, Frank?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
I love it when you say something.
Yeah, for this one, I like the Chinese translation. The Chinese version in the Bible. The pure in heart is Chinese words, is qingxin. It doesn't say chunjie, it's say qingxin. Qingxin, the meaning is you don't have a lot of desire, wishes, bad stuff, everything in your heart. You so focus on something. For example, like their meditation is the keep your brain is the qingxin.
Okay.
The same thing. Yeah. Here.
Oh yes, we were talking about that here, Linda. That's good. Yes, that's.
Yeah.
Good.
If here you can get rid of everything in the world, always focus on the God.
Right.
You will see the God. I mean, it's not automatically you see the God. You will see the God every day, feel the God. That I understand, that's the meaning. If you think too much, you won't see God.
Yeah, almost like undivided attention, right?
Yes, yes.
Thank you, Linda. That's good. I didn't obviously I didn't read the Chinese version, but yes, that's a good way to the undivided attention. That's good, because we should always strive for that. That's the whole purpose of reading God's word, of keeping his, you know, when we're, you know, studying the Shema, you know, putting the words in front of us, being mindful of it. All day, you know, everywhere you go, right? As I'm studying this and studying the original word pure, it is a little different when I see it. The word pure is pure from the original. I don't know why they translated that way, even though there are some characteristics of undivided attention and purity, but the word pure from the original Greek is blameless, free from sin and guilt. And And how do we become more pure? Can I share with you a story? Because Pastor Alex was talking about stories. And when I was thinking about this, I don't know if the story completely matches up, but I want to share it anyway. When in high school, or even in, I think it was our first year in college, our youth leader, this guy by the name of Tim, took me, Pastor Alex, Pastor James, to a lake in Lake Laughlin. Okay. We were in a patio boat. You guys know what a patio boat is? It's a, think of a patio, a small patio where you just hang out there. And it's a boat, it just floats on the lake. It goes really slow. And there's a barbecue stand on a boat. And you can just hang out there. You sit there, dangle your legs, and the boat just goes really slow. You can barbecue, you can eat and drink, and you can just enjoy the lake. It is one of the most awesome trips that we took. And, you know, we decided to, you know, we're just floating, right? Just floating on the patio boat. Ooh, yes. Singing some songs and talking, just, you know, talking nonsense. And then we saw a little cove. We said, hey, let's go to the cove and go to the beach and get a suntan. Let's just hang out. Okay. So, but the cove was too shallow. You can't drive the patio boat into the cove because you'll hit the motor is going to hit the rocks, right? So you can't do that. So you got to park it a little bit further away, and the cove's right here. And then, you know, so we drove it up close enough. It's like, oh, we can take that. So Pastor Alex goes, okay, I'll swim over first. He swims over, right? And then Pastor James is like, oh, I'll swim later. You know, he's a lifeguard. He's a good swimmer. For those of you guys don't know, he's a trained lifeguard. And then, so you go, Frank. Oh, you know, I'm no swimmer, but I'll make it. I was skinny as a twig at that time. And the lake was cold as a deep, dark abyss. So I'm swimming. I'm swimming. Yeah, I'm almost there. And then Alex says, why are you slowing down? Why, you got the Loch Ness Monster under you? And then I'm like, no. And then I'm slowing down because the water was so cold. I'm not used to swimming that long. It was longer than anticipated. And then I'm swimming. And then I'm swimming. And then all of a sudden, I'm swimming this way. And then Alex is like, oh, you can make it. And then Pastor James, being the guy who's always like, he senses something, he knows it. He's very practical. He says, go in, Alex, go now. And then Alex would jump in. So he dove in. He couldn't see me and he saved me. He gave me CPR. No, he didn't. But he dragged me. And then I was like, oh no, I'm fine. I'm gonna save myself. No, he pulled me onto the shore and I was out for like an hour because my body was just spent, right? So this is kind of an embarrassing story, but it's a true story. And then they all made it, right? And to shore, and they were all, you know, laughing at me, not showing any mercy or compassion. but nonetheless, they as a group saved me. And I was like, oh my goodness, I almost died. And I'm good in the swimming pool, but don't ask me to swim in the lake again because I'm gonna swim out and I'm swim back, right? I'm not a swimmer. Now, the reason I shared that is, can I save myself, right? Can I save myself at that time? Any more that I can become more pure. Right? Can I become more pure? Can I save myself? Can someone say, at that time, if Pastor Alex or Pastor Jay says, save yourself. Save yourself, Frank. Save yourself. I'm going to try. I'm going to try and be undivided attention. Okay. I'm going to focus now. I'm going to focus. Save yourself. No, I'm already going under. I'm already going under. There's no way. There's no way. But then someone says, but Frank, just focus. Just focus and save yourself. I'm not sure if I would have been able to save myself, and I wouldn't be here today, right? Isn't that a good story, guys? You guys know that story? Have you guys heard of that story? Probably haven't heard of that story, huh?
First time,
huh? I got more of those coming, so. but that is one that I will never forget, and neither will Pastor Alex and Pastor James. I'll never forget. I can't save myself any more than I can become more pure. And I would suspect that this is why David said in Psalms, and I think Peter mentioned, oh, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You know, David was like, I know my heart is wicked. Help me. That's the only leg I can stand on. Save me. Give me a clean heart, right? How can we become more pure? What's your track record of being more pure? Mm-hmm. Trying to do it, right? You can't fake the heart, as Peter mentioned earlier. Isn't that fascinating and wonderful at the same time? Scary, but then also amazing at the same time, right? He's the one who makes us pure.
A neighbor, Frank, at one time that was really in the depths of despair. He was a really, really bad alcoholic.
Okay.
And he was like this, really getting problems, health problems, cirrhosis of the liver and things like that. And the wife said, basically, you need to clean things up. But he said, I prayed and prayed and prayed. And so he finally stopped drinking, guys act together. But I think unless God would have helped him, I think he might not have made it with divine intervention from God to cure him of his alcoholism.
I don't doubt it. Yeah. I think unless God intervenes in any of our lives, we all have our own stories. But unless an outer force, in that case, right, back to my story, unless Alex intervened, or James intervened, or somebody intervened, I would have drowned. And that's a real, real situation, unless God intervenes. And that's what David knew that too, unless the Spirit of God intervened, his heart is bounded for destruction. It would not be pure, never be pure in a million years. Right? That's just a reminder of how great our salvation in the Lord is right now. We should all be very just thankful. You know, even in Ezekiel, right? This beatitude shows us that our only hope, the text is bringing me to this. It's almost like an evangelical message, right? It is our only hope is in the grace of God. Jeremiah says, the heart is more deceitful than all else, desperately sick. Who can't understand it? Right? It's who knows it? And in Ezekiel, and we studied this in John when Tim and I, I'm not sure if he covered this or I covered this, but in John, we brought everyone to this text where God is saying, I will sprinkle clean water on you. You shall be clean from all your uncleanliness. From all your idols, I will cleanse you. I will purify you. I will give you a new heart. Spirit, I will put within you. Right? It's talking about this. purity in heart, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. This is just describing the purity in heart. Who can do it but God? Yeah. And Jesus is always addressing the heart, right? And when I read this, I guess I think I'm just sharing what I'm learning from the text now. I'm not even teaching, right? Because I felt that at this juncture, I was just brought to a reminder. And again, this is just my own personal reminder. I think God was just reminding me that Jesus was also reminding me not to do things here. It's more about receiving and not trying to do it, because you can't create a clean heart in yourself. You're trying to do good. You're trying to be good. And I think Jesus was telling me that, no, you can't receive rather than do. Right. That's where it led me. I don't know, as you guys are reading this, how is the Spirit moving you and reminding you of certain things?
Yeah, Frank, even going back to your previous, that story, until seeing the different perspective, what if we were yelling at you to save yourself, like that's a pretty powerful imagery, isn't that such a danger that can lurk and exist within the church? Unless we're clear on God's word about this issue, we will always have a tendency to have a sense that we are good enough. When you go back to that, those verses in the Old Testament that were all pointing to the gospel, David saying, "Create in me a clean heart, O God," right? And that's a recognition that, hey, even at my highest point, I have nothing, I cannot save myself. When we talk, when Bex and I talk about our youth group, I've even said to the youth before, growing up in the church, sometimes, not to say that this is a truism, right? But sometimes growing up in the church is a blessing, but also a curse. It could be bad. Why is it bad? Because you've learned all of the behavior of churchianity. You learned all of the right behavior, the right outward appearance. And it is very hard for some of those who grow up in the church to truly believe that they are wicked inside, that they are truly just that bad, that they cannot save themselves. It frightens me, the things that you're talking about. You said it's amazing. Yes, it is so amazing, but it is very frightening. Because I think the deception is every religion in the world, even when we go back to cultural China and all of these Taoism and everything, is about you being good. you can achieve your own goodness. And the truth of God's word begins at saying you cannot be good enough to save yourself. That's the single most controversial point that differentiates where God begins and every religion, every ethical code, every moral code, every governmental approach to make good people, to solve the problem of people, is to say, you can do it. Oh, well, lights just turned out here. Like, you can do it. You have it within you to save yourself. No. We can save ourselves. We can save our people. And the Bible, the gospel begins as saying, you have fallen, you cannot. And I think that deception, see, all of the Beatitudes to me, they all line up with that, right? Because some people who come to church and you look at someone who's not even a Christian, but you're like, oh, you're so gentle, you're so kind, you're so meek, you appear so Christianly. But what if that person never experienced the Holy Spirit transformation? But they're always just kind of a naturally kind and gentle and shy person, right? I would rather have people who come to the church who are arrogant and angry and wife beaters and drug users and all types of issues, so that you can see the transformation in their life. You can see the Spirit actually changing them from who they are. Right? I'd rather see those who are shy be transformed to be made courageous for Christ. Right? So I think that transformation picture, that salvation picture of what only someone who says, I cannot, I have nothing to bring to the table, I cannot save myself, can be transformed. Right? Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty powerful, Frank.
Yeah, that is powerful, what Jesus is saying. And, yeah. And you know, on record, I mean, even for, especially for the youth, for the young, we do not want to reiterate, hey, do things.
Yes.
Follow the rules, and then you'll be a good person. That is not what church is about. That is not what Jesus is saying, right? This is so important, right? And which is why many commentators say this is the ultimate blessing. It's not about being gentle. It is about having the Holy Spirit in you, so that when the Father sees you, he sees his Son, Jesus Christ. Because only those who believe in Jesus have the Holy Spirit in their lives, and therefore they become the children of God. It's a gift that you receive that you do not work for. But when you are presented with the opportunity to receive Jesus, take it all in, and receive his purity, his goodness, his righteousness. Gosh, it's going to take a lifetime to understand that, but that's the beginning. That's the beginning. As wicked as you know your heart is, and how corrupt it's inside, only you know. It's Jesus' righteousness that covers it all. His work, not yours or mine. Because, again, if you want a better picture, just think of me in that lake. I could not swim a little harder, a little faster, because my body was freezing up. I couldn't.
Loch Ness.
Loch Ness. The monster was dragging me down. I couldn't. I could not swim harder. Yeah, it was scary. Scary, guys. And that's why Ephesians 3:11-12, it's the Amplified version, kind of, you know. Can someone just read that for us?
Bethany's going to read it. She said,
"Thank you, Bethany."
This is in accordance with the terms of the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confidence across through faith in him. That is, our faith gives us sufficient courage to freely and openly approach God through Christ.
That we are able to approach God confidently, right, through Jesus. Because we are so wicked, we cannot create a clean heart. We do not have a purity heart, but through Jesus, we can see God. That's why it's the ultimate blessing. How do you see God, right? But because you don't have a pure heart. But Jesus saying, blessed are you then pure in heart. Blessed are you who receives me. Blessed are you when I make your heart clean. For you will see God. Gosh, that's something to ponder upon. You guys remember the story of Moses when he's up in the mountain and God showed him everything already. God only spoke to him. But Moses saying, okay, I got everything you gave me, but one more request. You guys remember what he asked for? You know, the Mount Sinai incident, everyone knows the Ten Commandments. He asked God that if he can see his glory, right? See him. And God said, you guys remember?
Or no.
Just no. No. Why? Why did he say no?
Because if you see me, you will die.
Right. Oh, if you see me, you will die because you're unclean. You're not pure. You can't get close to a pure God, holy God. But God says, I'm going to hide you. And I just thought that was a very tender moment. God takes Moses and I'm going to hide you behind the cleft of a rock. I'm going to pass by you. You get to see my behind, the shadow of me passing through. That you won't die that way. And then Moses saw it, you know, just that glory alone made his whole aura kind of shine as he came down the mountain, right? Just being so close to God, but he couldn't see God's face. Wow. But when Jesus comes on the scene, he says, you're going to get more than Moses. You get to see God for those who are pure in heart, right? That's a promise.
Isn't that so cool? Because Jesus is on the heels of the height of Judaism, right? The Jews who have made their Pharisaical debut, right? They know they cannot see God. They have the temple system. You know, there is the Holy of Holies. There is the veil, the curtain. You know, you cannot see God and live. They all know that, right? So for Jesus to come on the scene and say these things and get to verse 8 and say, if you are pure in heart, you know, you're blessed because you see God. You will see God, you know?
You will see God. Yeah.
That's got to be almost like blasphemy to them. You know?
I think so. I think this was not a popular sermon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How dare you? You can see God, you know, especially for those who are poor in spirit, who are the meek. You tell me these people, they can see God. Maybe the Pharisees can see God. They probably think they could. But God's looking at the heart. And I think, you know, when we look at, see God, there's two interpretations. One is literally when you go to heaven and you are walking with the Father, you can see him in your new body with your new eyes. We hope for that day. We will see God. But seeing is also, the word itself, it says experience God, right? Most of us don't see God in live person right now, but we do experience God. So that's the, it's a twofold interpretation. I mean, one way we're going to see God, that is the promise. But we also get to experience God right now in our lives. And that's, you know, that's why, you know, all these blessings that Jesus was talking about, other blessings are good, but this blessing is one that satisfies most because we get to experience him. We get to experience him. And you don't have to
share a Bible verse if I had time.
Go ahead. Of course you have time. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. So the Lord led me to Isaiah 1:18 about charity. So where it says, come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, though they're red as crimson. They shall be like wool. And I love when in the Old Testament we get to see like the propheticness of Jesus, because like, yeah, it's every mentality of just understanding that he's Lord. And it says right there at the beginning, let us settle the matter. Like, we all are sinners, and that's how we all equally come to serve our Lord and be free from that. So I wanted to share that.
Thanks, Becca. Amen. Yes, he settled that for us. He settled that for us. Anyone wants to share anything, any thoughts on what Becca said? Also what we've been at in terms of seeing God and experiencing God? This, I think, it is the greatest blessing. And as I was studying this, this is a question for everyone to think about. When was the last time that you experienced him? Not because you are pure, but because the Holy Spirit that's in you, because through Jesus, you're able to experience God. When was the last time you experienced him? In this, you know, may not like to talk about feelings, but how did that feel? Because it is a very important part of our relationship with God, right? When was the last time you experienced him, and how did that feel? Perhaps you can ponder on that for the rest of the day. I know that when I took some time to think about it and encounter that, it does bring me back. It does remind me of that relationship that I have with God through Jesus.
Frank, can I ask you something, Frank? When you had that, sounds like you had a kind of a near-death experience where after I exposed you out of the lake.
I had several, Scott.
Really? Did you feel, I'm asking you, how did you feel about that at that time? It's just, you see your whole life flashing in front of you? You see God trying to help you, or just he sent Alex to help you? I want to ask you, how did you feel during that time? You feel God's presence?
No, I didn't get to that point yet, right? Really? I didn't see white lights or anything. But gosh, you know, during that, it's just so fast. It did remind me, as I was replaying in my mind now with, you know, 20 years later, right? It really puts to meaning that our lives are but a moment in a flash. And that's what I saw. So when you asked me that question, the word that came up was a flash. It's just a flash, because the water was here. The water was here, and it was there, right here. And then in my eyes, I just saw a flash, probably because the light glistening on the top of the water, just like you see in the movies, it's real, right? I just saw a flash. So that's the word that I had. It was a flash. It's a flash. Yeah. But for the grace of God, right? Yeah. Yeah. It was fun, though. It was a fun trip. We kept on playing after that. You know, yeah, it was a fun trip.
How did you get back into the boat after you had to swim? Did somebody swim with you when you went? Had to go back to the boat again?
We had a jet ski with us.
Oh.
I think we had a jet ski and we jet skied back.
I see.
I didn't swim back. Oh. I don't think I swam back. I think we had a jet ski, yeah.
I see.
How are you guys doing? Everyone doing good?
Mm-hmm.
What you guys? I hope this brings encouragement. It's almost like reliving the gospel again, right? Mm-hmm. That's what Jesus was really, it's from another angle, but he's the one who creates a clean heart for us so that we can approach God. That's the most important part of life, that we get to experience God and we get to see him and we get to approach him boldly. Like Ephesians was talking about, we get to approach him boldly. Otherwise, no way. We cannot even pray to God. I hope that was comforting, and you know, when we know that it's a promise from God, it's a blessing from God, it brings comfort to your soul, and not fear, but rather assurance. Yes, maybe.
Yes.
I'm sure that's the case, yeah. Does anyone else have anything else to share? Otherwise, we can close today.
Yeah, I think just to echo you, Frank, like I just, like when I read this verse, I just think about how we need to be pure in heart in order to see God, and how that's only possible because of Christ. And then, so that's why we emphasize the importance of remembering the birth of Christ, Christmas.
Yeah. Mm.
And in terms of the last time experiencing God, I think just like even this morning, just being worried about something, but then being reminded, I think, by, you know, how the Spirit just reminds us of God's truth and how he has everything in control. And even though it feels, maybe things feel out of our control sometimes, or you wonder why things happen the way that they do, to know that God is in control and he's able to like work out all things.
Thank you, Lucy. Yeah. Thank you for sharing. Yeah. He's still in control. And that's why we celebrate past few days, right? The birth of Christ. That's the only reason, is because he's the one who has allowed us to see God through his death and resurrection. Amen. Would someone like to close in prayer for us? Yeah. Anybody?
I can close us in prayer.
Oh, thank you, brother. Right.
Dear God, Lord, thank you today for gathering us here as brothers and sisters to not just learn and fellowship in Christ, but Lord, to see how much you have done on your behalf for us, that sometimes we don't even realize until we take the moment to reflect on how good you are, Lord. And even in those moments, Lord, we take for granted at times. But Lord, I just pray that even through this series of the Sermon on the Mount, as Brother Frank and Pastor Alex are leading us through, allow us to be able to have moments of vulnerability, Lord, to you, to allow your spirit to transform us, Lord, to allow us to see the work you have been doing, Lord. Allow us to let down our prideful guards, let down our self-independence, and allow us to see the need that we have in Jesus, Lord. And I pray that through this experience that our church would grow as a united body, Lord, that we can be a blessing to the rest of the world, Lord. I pray for today, the worship team, Pastor Alex's message, that you would just lift them up, allow their presence and glorifying your name be a blessing to others and to draw those closer to Christ, Lord. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.